hand two Sunday school lessons, which I've never done this before, okay? The reason you have two Sunday school lessons is because the first lesson is called an overview, and it's the only one you're going to get. Every week you will not have that. Then lessons 2 through lesson 31 are going to be on that series of overview, all right? So for instance, let me just quickly show you a couple things here. In fact, let's just start with this. You see that color, the sheet that you have, and that's in color right there? Okay, so what you have is showing you the series of lessons that we're about to go through. If you look on the top, it says the books of the Bible, 66. The breakdown, Old Testament, New Testament. We are starting with the Old Testament. And then if you go underneath Old Testament, 39 books, we're going to start with that first one that's in purple called the Pentateuch. Now, the word Pentateuch just means five-volume book, all right, which we understand to be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We're going to look at those five books, and we're going to have 31 lessons on those five books as an overview of those five books. After that is over, Lord permitting, we'll have 31 lessons on the orange there on history. We'll have 31 lessons on the five books of poetry. We'll have 31 lessons on the five major prophets, and then 31 lessons on the 12 minor prophets. That will cover all the Old Testament, and it gives an overview of that. Okay, now, with that said, if you'll look at your first lesson, I'm not teaching this first lesson. It has much information in it about the five books, all right? So Genesis is going to tell you they're all the same. It's going to tell you who the author is, the date that it was written, the theme of the book, and then the outline of the book, all right? So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all of them will have that. Now, we're going to start today, obviously, with Genesis. We'll probably have five, maybe six lessons on Genesis. Same thing with Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. You'll have probably 5 to 7 lessons on each one of those books as an overview of those books, okay? So you have that in your lesson there on the first lesson being the overview of the Pentateuch. Now look at your second lesson. That's the lesson we're going to look at this morning for just a little bit. And this is really the first lesson we're teaching, though it's the second, but it's the first story that we're teaching from the Pentateuch, all right? In other words, God created all. And that's where we want to start this morning. Now, I don't know how you think or even really what you believe, but I think we as Christians understand that evolution is a theory given so that we can take God out of the scenario. Alrighty? In the beginning, God. People don't want that. Because I want to tell you something, when you can take God away from it, then you can say, I don't need a God for salvation, or I don't need God for this or God for that. God created everything. Evolution, I know there's lots of different evolutionary theories as far as how this world was created. The general theory of evolution most people go with is the Big Bang Theory. There was this gigantic particle of energy that exploded, and when that particle of energy exploded, and my question always is that, where'd the particle of energy come from? Alrighty? But that big particle of energy exploded, and that was the Big Bang, and then from that, everything has evolved into what it is. Now, there's several problems with that, okay? Number one, it's not true, okay? But even the law of thermodynamics tells us that energy has to come from something. It just wasn't there to begin with. God created everything, all righty? So again, we don't believe what the world is teaching in this idea of, you know, everything just evolved. I always get a kick out of the story how there was this amoeba, and this amoeba turned into a fish, and this fish jumped out on the sand, and, you know, all of a sudden it became a frog, and the frog turned into a monkey, and I mean, just on and on and on until all of a sudden he just stands upright and he's a man. I mean, that's the most foolish thing in the world that a person could ever imagine. I was reading, I'm going to just read this to you so I don't mess it up, but a Swedish botanist who was an evolutionist for 40 years did a study, and here's what he said. His name was Urban Nilsson. He said, my attempts to demonstrate evolution by experiment carried on for more than 40 years have completely failed, and this is what he said. The idea of an evolution rests on pure belief. Now you think about that for just a moment here. They have to have more faith that all of this happened by accident than we have to have, but to have faith that God created it all. And so, again, they want to use scientific fact to try to explain, but they can't repeat the scientific fact that they're trying to tell you is a fact. All right, so, again, I know we as Christians, we dismiss it from our minds because we know what the Bible says. But we're having young people that are growing up in Christian homes that when they get out into the world and they go to a secular college and Dr. Somebody, who thinks he's somebody, stands up because he's got a doctorate behind his name, he's confusing Christians about their faith in Christ because now there's no God. It has all happened by accident. So again, this morning, I want to start with this idea of God created all. And I know for all of us, it's just a reminder, really. It's not like it's going to shake our faith. We understand these things. We know these things as far as what the Bible says. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 1. We'll read a few verses together, I believe, here. Genesis chapter 1. And church, I mean, can we be responsive to that? I think it's healthy for us to read. And so this morning, we'll take just a couple of minutes of doing this. I'm not sure if we'll read the whole chapter. But I'm going to read verse 1. You read verse 2, and we'll do that down through the chapter. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth together, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." Now before you read, this morning, I don't like taking away the thunder of the Sunday school teachers, but I wanted to get the premise in the kids' minds before they even got the class about the 6 days of creation. By the way, you ought to know the 6 days of creation. Okay, on the first day God created light. All right, now I put an action with it, so remember, close your eyes, open them, that God created light. On the second day God created heavens. All right, third day God created earth. On the fourth day God created. On the fifth day God created fish and fowl. On the sixth day God created land, animals, and man. On the seventh day he rested, all right? So we understand that. Now, unfortunately, there are people who are Christians that want to try to take on the world's thinking concerning creation, and so they want to believe in theistic evolution, okay? Now, theistic evolution, theo meaning God, theistic evolution means that God used evolution to create the world. We don't believe that either, by the way, okay? God doesn't need something to help him do something, okay? The word create means out of nothing, right? There's a big difference. I had one of the girls get me some Play-Doh this morning. And, you know, the thing about Play-Doh is it doesn't come out, all right? All right, let me just pull a little bit of this out, okay? The thing, I don't know, how many played with Play-Doh when you were a kid? Anybody at all? How many still plays with Play-Doh? Okay, good. All right, several of you, good. You know, we used to play with Play-Doh, and we used to put that, we used to take that Play-Doh, and we would sometimes roll it up and make snakes, and then other times we'd take that Play-Doh and try to make a cup out of it. You know, you can make whatever you want out of Play-Doh, but you can't create Play-Doh. You know why? Because create means out of nothing. In other words, if I had nothing in my hand, I can't make Play-Doh. All right. The only one that can do that is God. So there's a big difference between this idea of create and make. And I want to tell you, we don't believe in theistic evolution, that God had to use something to make something. We understand that God made something out of nothing. And that's the kind of God that we have. Now, this morning, let's go back to our scriptures. Let's read a few more verses. I believe we are on, is it verse 6? All right, we'll read this one together. You ready? "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." All right. In the evening, the morning were what day? All right. What created on the first day? Light. What did God create on the second day? Heavens. What did God create on the third day? Earth. So we understand that God created the earth. All right. Now, listen to what he says next. Let's read just a little bit farther here. Next one is verse 14. "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years together. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." And what? All right, so we understand this is these days of creation, that we believe this by faith. All right, we believe that the Word of God that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, Church Family, the three big questions that everybody has is who created it, you know, when was it created, and why was it created? Those are always the three big questions, okay? Now, I want to tell you the who's God, all right? In the beginning, say it, God, all right? We understand that God created heaven and the earth. There's a new philosophy coming out saying that, you know, God created the earth, but the way he did it was a long scientific notion as far as time. Just remember, I believe with all my heart, now this is just me because I believe it by faith, according to Hebrews 11, verse number 3, that by faith we believe the worlds were created by him. I don't have to have the world stamp of approval on Genesis chapter number 1, okay? I believe that the evening and the morning were the first day. I believe the evening and the morning were the second day, all right? And there'll be some people who say, you know, well, a thousand years is a day to God, and, you know, and vice versa us. But I want you to understand that I believe there's a 24-hour period. I believe that, all right? I don't have to change my belief system to match what the scientific world wants to say. I'm just going to say what the Bible says, okay? Now, so when, or I should say, first of all, who created God? Second question has always been is, you know, when was it created? Now, Church Family, we don't have time to go through the little parts of all this and really show the facts. But we believe, again, I believe that the Bible teaches that the earth is about 6,000 years old. Now, it can be a lot older than that. The Lord knows the exact timing. And the reason we say that is because from our Bible, there are certain things that we can time out, all right? In other words, Adam lived 930 years, if I remember correctly. We understand, right? Adam lived 930 years. We know that Methuselah lived 969 years. And, of course, if you follow the genealogies, God said how long each of them lived. We understand that from the creation of the world to Abraham was about 2,000 years based upon the genealogies that are mentioned in the book of Genesis. We also understand that from Abraham to the time of Christ, based upon the lifespans and what the Bible teaches throughout the Old Testament, was about 2,000 years. We also understand that what is the year that we're living in right now? 2020. Are we all together so far? And our dating system is based upon when Christ was up on this earth. I always like it that the lost world in recent years had to come up with a way to disprove that. So now they come up with there's no more B.C. and A.D., all right? B.C. meaning before Christ. A.D. meaning Anno Domini, meaning in the year of our Lord, okay? So when we say 2020 A.D., we're saying in the year that our Lord came to this earth 2,020 years ago, all right? That's what our dating system is based upon, okay? But they have to change that too, but you know why? Because they don't want a God, and they don't want Jesus Christ, okay? So, again, we cannot be dogmatic as far as exact years. It's an impossibility, okay? But we do understand, based upon the Word of God, that about 6,000 years, 2,000 years plus from the time of creation to Abraham, Abraham to Jesus Christ to the day that we're living now, okay? Now, with that said, we can figure out that who, the when, and the why, we can figure those things out. Who made the earth? The answer is, all right, who made the world? God, okay? When did he do it? We know it 6,000 plus years ago, okay? We understand that. We also understand the why as far as why God created. And this morning, that's really the application this morning. And I want you just to notice it. I think I put it in your lesson, if I remember correctly. Do you have it in your lesson there where it says why God created man? Is that in there, Stace? I got a lesson right here. Never mind. I'm sorry. All right. I write me a new lesson before I teach, and so sometimes I got to make sure. All right. Is it there? Yes. All right. So, Church Family, look at point number two, the application. Every one of your lessons are going to have two points. It's going to be interpretation, application. Point number one, interpretation, which interpretation of God created all. Application, why did God create all? Now, I don't know if you've asked yourself this question, but why are you here? What is God's purpose for you? In other words, you're not an accident. There's nobody that's living that's an accident. God has a plan for that person's life, and he's got a purpose. Now, what's the plan according to Scripture? Now, you've got your lesson there, and I just want to point out these two things, okay? Look at Roman numeral 2 on your lesson, application of God created all. Why did God, I'm going to read this, okay? Why did God create everything? Proverbs 16:4, the Lord hath made all things for himself. Man has a tendency to think that everything revolves around him, but all things are really about God. Only God can create. Create means to bring into being from nothing or to cause to exist. Why did God create me? Why am I alive? What am I doing here? Now, Church, you'll notice there's only two points. Letter A and letter B are the two points, and then everything underneath those explain those. Now, I want to say this morning because we're going to go right into the morning service. Obviously, we lost a lot of our Sunday school hour. Every day of my life when I get up, I am reminded of these two things. I think it's in your best interest that every day of your life when you get up that you would be reminded of these same two things. Why am I here? Well, I'm here to be a father. Why am I here? I'm here to raise children. Why am I here? I'm here to pastor a church. What? No, I am here for two reasons, the same two reasons you're here. Now, you have all the verses on your Sunday school lesson this morning, but God created you for two purposes. Purpose number one, that you would what? To bring glory to God. God created you, the verses are there, and I can't quote them to you this morning, but you have them in front of you. God created you to bring glory to him. In other words, the word glory, I'm supposed to honor him. I'm supposed to worship him. I'm supposed to praise him. When a person looks at me, what does he say in Matthew 5, verse number 12? He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Glory your Father, which is in heaven. When you go to work, you are not to be bringing glory to you. You're supposed to be bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So why did God create me? He created me to point people to him. That's why he created me. All right? I'm supposed to bring glory. I have a hammer up here this morning. This hammer has really only two purposes. Well, actually three if you're going to hit somebody, but it has two purposes. That was humor, by the way. All right, so there's two purposes to this hammer. On this side of the hammer, I can do what with it? I can hammer a nail in, all right? I can use it to hit, to pound, all right? The other side of this hammer has a what? Claw. That's to pull the nail back out. That's the two purposes. Now, my brother, when we were growing up, he did not realize that. He couldn't get the car to start, so he took his hammer out there, my brother, and he started hammering on the battery post, alrighty? And it broke the battery post. And my dad came out there and said, David, what are you doing? He says, I'm trying to get the car to start. He said, son, you broke the battery post. Why are you using a hammer on a battery post? He said, well, I was trying to get it to start. He said, that's not what a hammer is used for. Hey, can I tell you something, Christian? We're so busy using ourselves for things that we were not meant to be used for. You know what you're meant to be used for? First thing you're meant to be used for is to bring glory to God. You know the second thing you're meant to be used for? Letter B is to do what? To do his pleasure. I like that verse in Revelation, I think chapter 4. But to do his pleasure. God said, I created you. You know what the word pleasure means? It means will or desire. So guess what? You know what God made Judson Smith for? I have no idea. He made Judson Smith to bring glory to God and to do his pleasure. You know what he made Brother Merriman for? To be a wonderful husband. How's he doing? He's working on it. But that's not why God created him. God didn't create him to be wonderful. God created him to bring glory to him and to do his pleasure. This New Yorker, you know why God created him? We're all wondering that right now, aren't we? God created, Brother Fellow, you for two purposes, to bring glory to God and do his pleasure. Amen. Just remember, you know why God created you? That you bring glory to him and that you do his will for your life. Amen. Now listen, I encourage you, because we don't have time this morning, I would encourage you to look and study that lesson, because that lesson tells you how to bring glory to God, and that lesson tells you how to do his pleasure. You ought to look at those verses, you ought to read those things. I want to tell you something. This morning when I got up and had my devotions, I closed my personal prayer time with God, help me to bring glory to you. And God, help me do your will today. You know why? Because that's why he created me. And that's why he created you.